Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Venatrix's Business Development Director, Sophie Allen. Sophie started her recruitment career in 2013 with Elaine Tyler at Celsius Graduate Recruitment based in Manchester. Fast forward 2 years later, Elaine decided to launch her own recruitment business, Venatrix, and asked Sophie to support the business in winning new clients. Sophie joins us today to talk about the value of personal branding and relationships to help become a successful recruiter. We hope you enjoy.
Sophie, thank you very much for joining me on the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's a nice thing to do on a Monday.
Absolutely. And you're currently based in Nice in France, that's correct?
Yes, I am in the south of France.
So I imagine we've got very different weather at the moment. We're not having great here.
We've actually got the first cloudy day that we've had in about a month today, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, too hot sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sophie, you currently work obviously with Venatrix, and you've been there for how many years now?
Nearly 8 years.
8 years, a long time. So what did you do prior to Venatrix?
So I was at Manchester University, studied drama, finished uni and didn't really know what I wanted to do, but had always had a big appetite for making money, and had always got involved in like jobs while I was at uni, summer jobs on my breaks. And then when I finished university, I went to an assessment centre that was run by a company called Celsius that was all about getting into sales. And that was the company that Elaine, who is the founder of Venatrix, was the director of. So went through that assessment center. At the end of it, they asked me if I'd ever considered recruitment. Like a lot of people that end up working in recruitment, I hadn't necessarily considered it, but I loved the aspect of the like commission element and the part where it was a sales job, working towards targets, speaking to lots of people on a day-to-day basis. So I then got a job with that company, joined that business in Manchester. Elaine then spearheaded the opening of the London office for that business. And I was like the top performing candidate sourcer at the time. She asked me if I wanted to move to London and kind of do it with her, which I did. And then I think 2 or 3 years after that, she obviously got the opportunity from James Carr, the recruitment entrepreneur, to launch Venatrix. And shortly after she opened its doors, I joined her.
Wow, that's a fantastic story. And 8 years later. So what did you start off doing then with Elaine?
At Venatrix?
Yeah.
Clients. So I was brought in to help Venatrix win new customers, essentially. So in my previous role, my job had transitioned from candidates to clients. And then when she started Venatrix, her first hire was somebody on the candidate sourcing side of the business, because we don't operate a 360 model. And then she brought me in to assist with the client generation side.
How did you find that then? Obviously, Elaine, the CEO of Venatrix, super successful in previous roles. I think Venatrix has been going 10 years now. Coming into a new business, you know, it was a startup at the time and you were brought on as the first person. I'd imagine kind of psychologically, there's a lot of pressure there to be successful. And, you know, despite obviously you've been successful prior to that, it's a new kind of, you know, new ball game of new business, new startup. How did you go about being motivated and getting and winning clients?
Well, it was amazingly exciting to be working with Elaine again, because we'd had like a 6 month break from working with each other and we just bounce off each other really well. You've met Elaine. She's like the most driven, impressive person that I personally have ever come across. So there was like a massive buzz in the air because it was something that was brand new. Obviously, the investment from James Carr made it all super exciting as well. And it was all kind of happening at a time where the specific area that we recruit into, which is software sales, was booming. So there was lots of investment going into software companies in the UK, which meant that they were hiring lots of salespeople, which meant that there was lots of opportunity. And I love the hustle of winning new customers. And I actually like it when it's hard, because that's when you have to dig deep and do lots of outbound activity, which is the part of the job that I really enjoy the most. So it was a challenge. And, you know, yes, there was pressure, but it was fun. And like I said, there was just such a buzz in the air, in the atmosphere. We felt excited rather than scared about what lay ahead of us.
So the market when you joined was in quite a good market, wasn't it, for recruitment at the time? Obviously, big sector, people were hiring quite a lot. There were a lot of other businesses in the same arena as Venatrix. How did you then stand out? I mean, you know, LinkedIn's obviously been around a while, other social media platforms as well. Is that something, you know, kind of touching on the personal branding side, is that something you delved straight into, or was it something that you've kind of built up over the years?
Yeah, so honestly, when we very first started Venatrix, LinkedIn obviously existed, but it wasn't as big as it is now in terms of like a platform that recruiters use to build their personal brand. It was still like very much the content on there was like very, very professional. And so the way that we like made ourselves stand out was through the conversations that we had with customers. So we did high volume of outbound activity all day, every day, cold calling businesses, like literally nonstop. And we became very known in the industry for our very direct approach that was full of personality. So I think while obviously the recruitment industry is massive, and you know, maybe there's lots of recruiters out there that like take objections at face value or shy away when a customer says they're not hiring or they don't have budget, we were very much in the mind frame that we have to turn no's into yeses and create opportunities for ourselves. So I think very quickly we became known for that. And then because the SaaS industry is so interconnected, we began to get a name for ourselves. We began to get lots of referrals from businesses that we were working with. And then it grew from there.
So starting off, to your point, is, you know, LinkedIn isn't quite the beast that it is today. And, you know, you go on LinkedIn today and it's full of content, variety of formats, and it's easier this day and age to become more known online in LinkedIn than maybe being a recruiter, because it's quite easy to put out content.
Yeah.
Have you seen the change then in the 8 years? Because obviously you're very much out there, as is Venatrix as a business and personal and company branding. And something, is that something you've consciously decided to put more effort into because you've seen success off the back of it?
Massively. It's a like huge part of our day-to-day and our customer acquisition strategy. When we first started posting on LinkedIn, because it wasn't the norm, people would message us being like, this isn't Instagram, like why are you posting selfies, why are you posting about your weekend? But over time, like I'm not saying we started this, but it's expanded and the craze has caught on and now everybody's doing it. But it works, and that's why we do like put so much thought into it.
And it's funny, I think you touched on there with LinkedIn versus Instagram, there were two, it was kind of stick to your lane, stick, you know, be professional and professional only. Yeah. On LinkedIn. And if you're on Instagram, post pictures of your dinner and your selfies and everything else. And I think probably the majority of, you know, LinkedIn users now have kind of chilled out a little bit, because personal experience, it does get a tad boring reading the same business drama day in, day out, and thought leaders gets thrown around quite a lot, that everybody became a thought leader. And it adds a bit of, I think, you know, in marketing, you know, there's B2B, B2C, and the other terminology that people now talk about is H2H, which is just human to human, irrelevant that it's a client or a business. And I think LinkedIn's kind of gone down that route where it's okay to be a bit more personable, because actually at the end of the day, particularly in recruitment, is you're dealing with the people, not just the business side of it. You've got to trust and be endorsed by those people that you're working with. And that's something that Venatrix have done really well as a whole. And obviously, you know, the staff and the recruitment consultants within Venatrix.
Yeah, definitely. I think we also benefited from the fact that the age demographic of candidates that we place typically are very much from like the social media era.
Yeah.
So lots of the content that we post on LinkedIn about opportunities is actually directly relatable to the people that we're trying to attract into those roles, which I think is really helpful as well. So then on the business side, it's about creating content that is actually going to be useful to the business leaders that we are operating in the market of.
You talked about being more successful in a tougher market. You know, if you look back from Q4, I think when I was did a podcast with James Kahn back in January. We talked about a softening in the market and the micro indicators pointing towards that way in Q4. Inevitably, he wasn't wrong. And H1 has probably seen that, particularly in the tech side of things, you know, globally. How have you found that yourself, obviously working in France, being part of a UK-based business, but obviously operating internationally? How have you seen that work this year?
So let's not sugarcoat it. This year's been very tough, I think, for everyone. But a bit similar to COVID, the market has really, like the way that COVID impacted everyone, I feel like this market has also impacted everyone. So our customers, for example, have spoken to us about the fact that they are selling less or that it's tougher to sell products. So it's definitely not just affected recruitment, even though I think there's a general stigma maybe that recruitment is always the industry that gets impacted first, because when companies are tight on money, they think, right, let's not spend money on recruitment and let's stop hiring. But what we found is that actually the best way for these businesses to get themselves out of a tough economic situation is to sell more. And the best way to be able to sell more is to have great salespeople, which is obviously the role that we recruit for. So it's just been about like adapting, digging deeper with clients, being more persistent, being patient as well. So, you know, if a company is saying like they really for now don't have the budget to spend on a recruitment company, well, at some point they're still going to need to hire those salespeople. So having a really good keep in touch plan to make sure that in 2 months' time when things pick up, because things change constantly, that they, you know, come back to you because you've done such a good job of having a, you know, great first impression on them and then keeping in touch with them throughout the journey of them kind of realizing that maybe they do need to invest in recruitment.
Absolutely. And I think James noted as well, you know, when it's a tougher market, you end up, when it's an easier market, not that you do less, but you kind of skip a few steps down the recruitment process, and the likelihood is you're going to end up with a positive result. But when it's a lot harder, you've got to follow best practice all the way through. Your point in keeping in touch with everybody, both sides of the process, candidate and client, to make sure everyone knows where they stand, to make sure that that end result is a positive one. So you're working kind of not twice as hard, but harder than, to your point, last year has been, yeah, you know, it's been a lot tougher this year. On top of that, and jumping back to the personal branding, you're still finding time to do a podcast on top of everything else. Tell us where that came from and what it's about.
So my podcast is called Business Baby. It came from me getting pregnant and looking at online resources for women similar to myself that had been very much career women up until the point of getting pregnant, and then feeling like, oh my God, what the hell is going to happen to me? What's going to happen to work? What's going to happen with money? What's going to happen to my career? And when I went online, there were loads of podcasts for like pregnant women in like the celebrity world, but not necessarily in the business world. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start my own because I thought there must be so many women in a similar position to me that have the questions that I have that could really benefit from this. So yeah, I started it, it feels like ages ago now, earlier this year. We've done 8 episodes. And have got 2 more to record, and I've had amazing feedback because there's just not anything else like it. And again, going back to the point I made earlier about like our industry being very connected, lots of people that like I've known for years, who even dads, you know, that have had babies, have got in touch with me to say like, wow, I've never heard anything like this before, and actually the conversations that you're having are really important and useful. So yeah, it's been amazing.
I think, like you say, you know, being a career woman focused on sales and the adrenaline and the culture is really demanding. You know, obviously a lot of it's obviously KPI set, and doing that and then being able to give something back, and super topical obviously with yourself at the minute, but when you think about how many pregnant women there are that are going through exactly the same experience as you now and obviously in the future, and as well as dads, I think it's a really important topic. You know, I've recently just come off paternity, so I think it's really valuable. Going back to your point then on being that career woman, and over, you know, let's just use the last 8 years as the example here with Venatrix, how have you found growing in a startup, being developed internally through what was the career path, and what, you know, 8 years in any sales role is a long time. In recruitment, it's a very long time. It's a great, great stint, and doesn't sound like you're going to be stopping at any time soon, despite being a mother. So how have you found that experience in Venatrix, you know, to the point you are today?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I think the fact that we have built it to a company that's got like over 500 different clients from nothing is super rewarding, and see it go through like all of its different iterations and phases, whether that's like office moves, recruiting in different locations, hiring different team members, has been an amazing journey. I think that having like doing it alongside Elaine has been incredible. I think, like you say, it's rare for anyone to stay in a job for 8 years. But aside from the fact that I do genuinely love what I do and I love recruitment and could never see myself doing anything else, I think the relationship that I have with Elaine and just how we work together and how much she's like developed and supported me in my career is a massive part of why I have stayed so long and have no plans to leave, like you say, after motherhood.
And obviously being based in Nice, when did you move to France?
Just after the first lockdown, so 2020.
And so how did you find that transition? Obviously going back to the point about recruitment, it is non-stop. Post-COVID, arguably, it was less face-to-face, inherently through what had happened, whereas prior to that, it was kind of in London 5 days a week, meeting people, client meetings, candidate meetings, and obviously with that all stopping, and that kind of culture is coming back now. You know, I've seen, obviously, terminology hybrid working, but obviously I've seen things on LinkedIn now, fluid working, where it's, you know, come and go as you please, but as long as you're in at some point. How have you found that, being remote working and keeping that personal touch? It can't all just be about that personal brand, but how have you found that being remote working now?
Yeah, I think so. I got used to remote working because obviously during the first lockdown, we couldn't go into the office at all. So that became the norm pretty quickly. I think if I hadn't had the experience of working in London for like 8 years before COVID happened and before I decided to make this move, I would really feel like I was missing out. And I think for people, I mean, I know I'm not like the most experienced person in the world, but I think for people who are earlier on in their careers, that like face-to-face interaction with colleagues and the social and learning opportunities that you get from that is super important. But I think because I felt like I'd done such a big stint of that and then just fell in love with like the new lifestyle that I've got here, I feel like I've really made it work for me. And I think that the LinkedIn and the personal branding and all of the content enables you to like, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can still be on everybody's feed every day and be known for what you do. So I think that has really helped me like establish myself as a remote worker.
That's a really good point. I think as an early recruiter in the early stages is learning from people around you, and you can't do that remotely. And I think being in the office, and I was probably, you know, similar kind of age or career kind of stage as you, where I've done London for years and years. I've been in offices 5 days a week, and I've learned from all my managers and the best people around me, and I'm still in touch with them. And I've done that because I was there 5 days a week. And not that COVID was any positives, but coming out of that going, actually, I feel quite confident that I'm not in the office 5 days a week, because to your point, you've got that foundation. You've personally built up that personal brand. So when you kind of step away physically, actually, you're still very much in the heart of everyone's minds because you're there. Teams calls, meetings, personal branding, LinkedIn, having a voice, and now podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also people shouldn't overlook how fun it is to actually go into an office and build like relationships with your colleagues and do the after work drinks. And obviously there's the huge benefit of the learning and being surrounded by people that you can listen to and learn from. But also there's a huge social element to it as well, which I definitely do miss. But again, when I like weigh up what I get from being based here versus what I think I'd get if I was in the office 5 days a week, for me, this is a better way of life for me.
You're due in a couple of months?
End of September, hopefully.
Okay. How long do you think you'll be able to stay off LinkedIn, personal branding? Obviously, motherhood is, you know, an extremely demanding job. but you're very driven, you know, hugely successful within the group and portfolio, but obviously within Venetrix as well. There's that personality and mindset is driven people going to say, yeah, I'm going to do this and step back. But very quickly, they realize that it's been such a big part of their life for the last decade. Do you think that you'll be able to not hang up your boots, but put them aside for a few months, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to play it by ear. I really don't want to be off for too long. With regards to LinkedIn, my plan is to continue to post. Obviously, I've got the like pregnancy motherhood narrative going now because of the podcast. So I want to post like a bit about that, but also a bit about like things to do with the SaaS industry and SDR recruitment and all the rest of it. And yeah, we'll see. I think realistically, maybe 4 months and then I'll be back. But you never know.
Absolutely. So in terms of then, you know, looking to the future, generally speaking with the tech market, like we've touched about, it hasn't been great for H1. You know, we're seeing some green shoots over the recent months. What's your predictions then for H2 and going into next year?
So all I can speak from is my own experience. We've definitely seen things pick up. So I think April, May were really tough, probably like the toughest 2 months of even tougher than COVID, like my entire career. But then from June onwards, businesses started to get back in touch with us and say, look, we've tried to do it ourselves. We've tried to hire candidates that have come directly. We've tried not to spend money on recruitment, but it's just not working. And actually, we need to hire some really good salespeople. So June, to be honest with you, felt back to normal. Then July's been really good. And we've got way more inbound leads than we have before. There's a lot more people getting in touch on LinkedIn. So the market feels less tense. There's a lot more like positivity, aspirational conversations about growth versus every conversation being about how tough the economy is. So obviously you can't predict the future and things always change, but I feel positive and like things are definitely going to pick up.
So it sounds like you said, green shoots, all positive. What would your advice to be then for kind of people getting into recruitment now and seeing, you know, that there is a positive future ahead for H2? What would your advice be to them about their own personal branding going into this year in the tech side of the market?
Yeah, so I think first of all, you need to accept that if you're going to work in sales, any market can be volatile and there are going to be ups and downs. And you've got to get really good at riding the wave. And I think that's something that actually internally at Venetrix, we've worked on loads over this last year. We've brought in a new head of the talent division, a lady called Megan. And she's been amazing at helping everybody with their mindset around like the highs and lows of recruitment and accepting that, you know, it's not always going to be positive, but then it's not always going to be negative. So I would say like accept that first of all. With regards to personal branding, I think you need to really figure out like who you're trying to speak to with your posts. So if you are a consultant that's just focused on candidates, like who are those candidates? What's the demographic? What are they going to be interested in? What can you post about that is actually going to resonate with them? If it's clients, the same thing. And then make a plan that be really consistent with it and don't be worried about what people think of you. So one of my friends who works in recruitment got in touch with me the other day and she was like, I really want to start posting on LinkedIn, but I just find it all a bit cringy and I feel like my colleagues are going to think it's really weird. And you just have to like really forget all of that and just go for it because you're never going to please everyone. Like, again, all I can speak from is my own experience. It's been an absolute game changer for me in winning customers. So just go for it. Don't worry what people think. Be consistent and make a plan.
Sophie, amazing advice. Thank you so much for today. Wishing you well in your pregnancy and motherhood and looking forward to having you back with more great advice in recruitment.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sophie.